Every t-shirt tells a story. There's no better time than now to create a custom designed t-shirt and make a difference. Our friends at Underground Printing make it easier than ever to start a t-shirt fundraiser for your charity, school, business, or any cause you support. All you have to do is design your shirt, share why you are raising, and then share your campaign. They will ship the orders direct and send along the funds you raise. Underground actually created the I Am Norman t-shirts, which supported the United Way of Norman, and it was very easy to set up. Just visit pogo.undergroundshirts.com to learn more about how you can create your own t-shirt fundraiser today. That's pogo.undergroundshirts.com. Hello and welcome to I Am Norman, a podcast about the great city of Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, I'm originally a Normanite. I'm a Norman girl.
I've always looked at Norman as just a fabulous place. I had a great childhood here.
I am a Norman girl. I mean, born and raised from day one, Norman, Oklahoma.
I haven't lived anywhere as long as I've lived here. So I call Norman home now, and it's a great place to live.
I'm Zach Logsden, and I hope you'll join me each episode as we hear the stories of the amazing people, businesses, philanthropies, and upcoming events in Norman, and what makes our big little city so great.
I love that in Norman, I am part of something that's so much bigger than me.
I just think that the people here in Norman are extremely generous.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again, nothing loves anything the way Norman loves Norman.
The I Am Norman podcast is brought to you by Norman Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. When your home or business needs cold air or hot water, call Norman Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing at 405-823-9641 or visit them online at normanair.com. Hello, Normanites, and welcome to another episode of the I Am Norman podcast. Thanks so much for joining us once again. I'm very excited about our guest today. Sylvia Kraft is a lifelong Norman resident, a graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and former intern for Congresswoman Kendra Horn. Sylvia, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Well, we're excited to have you on. Start as I do with all my guests, and tell me about your family, your history with Norman, Oklahoma, all that good stuff.
All right. Well, my name is Sylvia. I have lived in Norman for 22 years, which is the entirety of my life. I grew up in Norman with my mom. And I went through the Norman public school system, graduated from Norman North in 2016. And like you said, I also went to OU. My major was public and nonprofit administration, which is just a very fancy degree title to say political science with a little bit of nonprofit in there.
Okay.
And then I have a minor in international area studies. And my mother also has her undergrad and master's from OU. So not only are we big Norman people, but we are also big OU people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Norman, I danced at Massey's Dance Star Productions for, gosh, I want to say like 8 years. Loved growing up in the Norman community. My entire family, like immediate family, lives in Norman area. Was very close to my grandparents growing up. My grandfather actually graduated from Norman High.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother did as well. And I am the third person in my family to graduate from Norman North. My Uncle Kenny was actually in the very first graduating class of Norman North, which is kind of cool to say. Yeah. And then my other uncle graduated in 2006 and I graduated in 2016, and I have a little brother, so I'm hoping he will continue the Norman North legacy in the family.
So you said that you have a minor in international studies. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
That must mean that you've done some travel, or at least hope to travel. Have you done much traveling in your life?
I have done a lot of traveling. I hit my 10th country in 2019.
Oh, wow. 10. No chance you can name them all off for me, is there?
I can, and I could probably try to name them in order, or at least I'm going to try.
Okay, go for it.
So, Mexico, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, Spain, Switzerland, Italy, Cuba, Portugal, Germany, and Brazil was my 10th. And I also like to count the U.S. as well, because I've done
you gotta count that one. Sure.
I guess that makes 11 if my math is right.
You know what? Yeah, that's absolutely 11 countries, yet you elected to stay at home and go to the University of Oklahoma when I know you probably had opportunities to go just about anywhere. What made you decide to stick around here?
Yeah, so decision time came senior year, and a lot of my friends had decided to go to OU. Some decided to go to OSU, stay kind of in the general area. I got accepted into every single school I applied, and one school I got into was actually in London. And OU was the very last school to send me my acceptance. And I did not want to go to OU at all. I thought that it was just going to be like high school. And I really, really wanted to get out. But ultimately, it came down to it. I got my acceptance in the mail. And I kind of looked at my mom and I was like, you know, I can't imagine going anywhere else. Being anywhere else on Saturdays for football, I just couldn't do it. And my mom told me, you know, once you're at OU, you're there, you're immersed in school and whatever activities you decide to do. It's very much like you're in your own little world. And so I was like, yeah, I guess. And financially, it did make the most sense.
Right.
And I don't regret a single thing. I got there and it did take some adjusting to kind of find my own identity when I was in school, but I loved it. I would do it 100 times over.
So that actually leads me into a personal question that's close to my heart. I have a senior stepdaughter and a senior son that will be at Norman North this year that both have said basically the same thing you've said. I don't want to go to OU. It's just going to feel like I didn't get away to college. But also, I think both of them are, you know, they're both applying to OU. But it's kind of one of those last resort, ugh, I don't want to go here, but I probably will end up going here. So your advice to them or anybody entering OU that's grown up in Norman to help make it feel like you did go away to school. What, you know, any great advice for things to get involved with to make it feel like you have gone away to school?
Yeah. So funny, my roommate, my freshman year, who I lived in the dorms with, is also from Norman, and we both were in the exact same boat. And everyone had already made their decisions. Everyone had already found their roommates. And when we decided, we'll just go to OU, I guess. We still remember went to Starbucks, sat there, filled out our housing together. And I would definitely say find someone who you can kind of share that experience of the unknown with. I absolutely loved living with her. We both kind of got to be involved with different things on campus. Definitely that's some advice I would say. Just start applying to things. And even if I was applying to everything as a freshman, I would show up to these interviews for extracurricular activities and have no idea what it was and completely bomb the interview. But I got the experience and I got to meet some awesome students there. And it really is a process of kind of finding out what you want to do, because I went into my freshman year as a business major. I did DECA at Norman North, and I was set on doing marketing as my career. Mm-hmm. And then my first semester, I hated it. I hated every class I was taking, and I just found out that I wasn't passionate about it. And so kind of going through that as well, be open to changing your mind. My roommate went in as undecided, and she was undecided for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, it's just kind of letting yourself be about discovery. And I did not feel trapped at all when I was at OU. And it was really nice to be able to go home and do my laundry, go home,
sure,
eat a home-cooked meal, and even just to introduce my friends to my family and, like, the place I grew up in. And, yeah, I absolutely loved it. Don't be afraid of kind of the bubble of OU, yeah, is what I would say.
Good advice, and I will make sure they listen to this episode and it so they can hear that.
Perfect.
Thank you for sharing that. Back to your 10 countries thing. As you were listing them off, I couldn't help but notice that a lot of those places were Spanish-speaking countries. Does that mean you speak Spanish or any other languages?
I am conversational in Spanish, or at least that's what I put on my resume.
Gotcha.
My mother is also fluent in Spanish, and she spent a semester abroad at OU, so that's kind of where that fluency came from. And I also studied abroad as well, and I was in Spain, and so I got really good at my Spanish there, and then I came back and kind of lost a bit of it. But I really do try. I watch my TV shows with Spanish subtitles to try to strengthen my vocab, and So I tell people, yes, it's a little rusty, but I practice as much as I can, and my Duolingo app is just filled with languages that I try to build at least a little bit of conversation with.
Gotcha. Well, so I'm very interested in the studying abroad. Again, that's the things that we've encouraged our kids to take part of when they get to college. Tell us some stories from your time over in Spain. Anything pop out in your mind as unusually, I don't know, scary or unique anything like that?
Well, I was there for about a month and a half, give or take. I took my final semester as my language requirement for Spanish. I did it there.
Okay.
And I stayed with a host mom. She was awesome. And one of the coolest things that we did there was it was summer 2018, so it was the time of the World Cup. And we went to Portugal for a weekend, and we got to watch the Spain and Portugal game. Not in person, but, you know, in Spain and Portugal, soccer is very much a way of life. And so getting to watch it there in, like, a little restaurant, we were all packed, like, shoulder to shoulder. It was one of the coolest experiences that I'll never forget, just to see. And, of course, we were Team Spain because we were sitting abroad there.
Sure.
And there was that friendly competition, but that was so cool just to be able, and like it felt like you were in the game even though you were just watching it on a television.
they take soccer pretty seriously over there, don't they? Like kind of like we take college football, huh?
Exactly.
So I want to talk about your experience in Washington D.C. I'm very impressed that you took the step to become an intern for Congresswoman Kendra Horn. My first question is, how does one even go about that? Like, it's not like you just see a posting on LinkedIn for a job opening like that. So talk about the process for, I guess, hearing about it, applying for it, qualifying, all of that. It's got to be kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah. So I finished my undergrad in December. So I graduated early ahead of all of my friends, and I kind of had this choice to where I could go immediately into the workforce. I could kind of hang out for a bit. And my senior year of high school, I paged in the state Senate for Senator Rob Sandridge, who is our Norman guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, and I really wanted to do something similar to that, but on kind of a different level. And so I was kind of weighing my options, and I was kind of like, you know what, why don't I apply for an internship in D.C.? I definitely wanted to do it for someone who was a part of the Oklahoma delegation. And I met Congresswoman Horn when I did a leadership program at OU. She came and she kind of talked to us, And she, since she represents District 5 and Norman is District 4, I kind of knew of her and knew about her, but obviously since Tom Cole is the rep for Norman, I hadn't really looked too much into opportunities for her. But then I met her and I was like, you know what? I was like, why don't I just apply? The worst thing I can get is a rejection. And so the applications kind of look a little different across the board, depending on who you intern for, like where they're from. So since she's in the House of Representatives, the Senate does kind of like a bank type of structure. At least that was my experience applying for work in the Senate. But for the Congresswoman, I went to her website that kind of lists all the details of what you need to submit. I applied, sent a writing sample, which until this I was like, what do I send? So I sent my capstone paper, which was really, really funny because when I was talking, kind of I'd been there for a while, and she was like, one of the intern coordinators was like, Sylvia, she was like, usually writing samples, like one or two pages, not 22.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was so embarrassed, but she was like, your capstone was great. Don't worry, just for future reference. but anyway, so I submitted some writing samples, kind of did like some questions. Why do you want to intern for the Congresswoman? What policy interests do you have? Those sort of questions. Mm-hmm. And then I did a phone interview. And a month later, I moved to D.C. So it was kind of a quick process.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, so very, very quick turnaround. And I was actually her only full-time intern. A lot of the times, students who like live in D.C., who go to school there, or sometimes people will take that semester from whatever respective university they go to and move to D.C. and take like some online classes, because D.C. internships are very, very hard to come by and very, very competitive. Mm-hmm. So it was just such an honor to be accepted and then to get to have that experience as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. Very impressive. Your time in D.C. Was cut short. Obviously, we haven't got into that, but it was cut short due to the pandemic. But before you came home, I have to imagine in that couple months you had there, you met some truly amazing people and really impressive and big names. Who jumps out? You know, some of the coolest people you met while you were there.
Yeah. So as an intern, there's really no typical day. Like there is no telling who you're going to see walking through those hallways.
Mm-hmm.
I was there on the Senate side and the House side. There's like a little tram you can take underground. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to the Senate side one day and I saw all these reporters swarming somebody. And I was with one of my other intern friends. And I was like, we should go see who that is. And it was Senator Marco Rubio.
Oh, wow.
Which was very cool.
Yeah.
And then one day I was walking through one of the House buildings and I think I had gone to like a forum or something. I was heading back to the office and it was just me in the hallway and Congressman Jerry Nadler walked by, who's the House chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like in the impeachment, the whole process, the chairman of that. And so that was really cool. I kind of waved at him, because it was very much like, oh my gosh, what do I say to
right.
a member of Congress?
Right.
But all of them are very, very friendly, get in the elevators with them. So that was pretty cool. Another person I saw was I was in a business forum on small business and trade associations. It was about the impact of environmental regulations on small business. And Mike Pompeo walked in,
oh,
who
wow.
was the Secretary of State. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what is he doing here? And I was like, act cool. And then I was there for the State of the Union address, which was very cool. Not actually in the chamber, but I was in D.C. at the time. And the congresswoman invited Gina Nelson, who was the Teacher of the Year from Oklahoma, as her guest for that night. And so I got to meet her, and that was super awesome. And my mom is a teacher, and so just getting to sit with her and kind of talk about what it's like to teach in Deer Creek and kind of thank her, since being a teacher is just such a thankless job for all her hard work and stuff.
Yeah,
but cool. the coolest person I met, like number one on my list, has to be Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, wow. That is really cool.
Yeah. It's really not uncommon for famous people or like higher profile people to visit offices on the Hill. Most of them are there for advocacy. And he was there with the Planetary Society. And since the congresswoman has a background in space and aeronautics, he, of course, wanted to meet with her. And I just remember I was sitting at my computer, answering phones, doing my kind of normal intern tasks. And then one of the things like I do as an intern is I greet people when they walk in, make sure they're there at the right time if they have a meeting. Mm-hmm. And so I go to look and kind of greet whoever walked in the door. And I was just lost for words. I was like, oh. Because I grew up watching Bill Nye.
Yeah.
And even like in college in my science classes, I was like, got to watch Bill Nye to study for my test. And so he met with her. And then afterwards, he kind of hung around the office so that we could get pictures with him. And I remember going to shake his hand. And I was like, thank you so much for all you do for science and for... I was like, I watched you growing up. My little brother watches you now. I was like, I think you're so awesome. And he was so nice. And so was pretty cool.
He seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, he's really, because you never know, because sometimes celebrities can be kind of stuffy. But he was so, so, so cool. And I sent it to my mom. My mom like posted it on Facebook.
That's
and I was
really
like,
cool.
I'm watching Bill Nye the Science Guy. Even all my friends were so, so jealous.
That's awesome. I'm jealous. Shoot. Bill Nye's, he's one of my heroes. That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So you have to have been in D.C. at one of the most unique times in the nation's history, and certainly in recent history. You were there not only for the State of the Union, as you mentioned, that happens pretty regularly, but you were in D.C. When a sitting U.S. president was acquitted on impeachment charges. Talk about what it was like being there during that.
There was just so much information, like I couldn't keep up. Every day I walked into work and I was like, we were like, what's going to happen? A lot of protest going on, of course. I'd walk to work. You'd kind of see extra security around. And it was not uncommon for protesters to like come in the buildings and sit in. And, it was actually, you could go in the chamber for the impeachment trial and like kind of sit in the gallery. But that was very, very exclusive. People lined up for hours. So I unfortunately did not get the chance to go see that. But you could just feel like the tension when you were walking around. And even though I was in the House, and the House had already voted on impeachment, it was just the talk of everyone. And it was really... even though it was an impeachment process, which is very contentious, it was such a cool feeling to be like, wow, like this is history happening and I'm here to see it. And celebrities were here to protest. And I lived really close to one of the Senate buildings. And so they would shut down the street sometimes and like, I couldn't get down to my street. And it was a very out of body experience, but something that I will always be able to tell people that I was there for the acquittal of a sitting U.S. president.
Yeah, that's crazy. So that actually made me think of a completely different question. But you said that you lived close there. So do they set that up for you? Because surely they don't expect interns to move to town, go in search of an apartment.
Right.
So how does that work?
So being a congressional intern for a very long time was very exclusive. A lot of the time, people with money or more high-profile people would send their kids to do it. And I think that Congress has done a really, really good job of making it more accessible because D.C. is a very expensive city to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the year before, I can't remember, designated a certain amount of money, like appropriations, to pay their interns more because some interns like weren't even getting paid.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and to live in D.C., like, I mean, you have to get paid. And so it was very much good. I think the time that I was there, like the interns actually felt appreciated when they had it in the past, but they do help you. They kind of give you suggestions. One of my friends who did it in the summer kind of put me in a Facebook group, kind of like to search for rents and be like, hi, I'm looking for a place to stay. I'm interning from these dates to these dates. There's definitely like an intern culture in DC, but ultimately I ended up staying in a house that, actually Eleanor Roosevelt had helped open, and it was used to be a young woman's Christian home. And kind of over the years, they kind of saw a need to designate it as intern housing. And so they kind of converted it to intern housing. I would equate it to work, like living in a sorority house. It like kind of had that communal effect, but I did have my own room, got to like make my own meals and stuff, and they had security. And so my mom wasn't worried about me like living in an apartment building, but the search for an apartment in DC is also very competitive, but I was very lucky that I got a space to live and, people to hang out with. I was never bored there, but, I actually did have some friends who were there with me as well. And they were with, Gaylord College of Journalism at OU does a program. I would say like kind of similar to study abroad, but in the US they kind of ship them to DC so they can do like hands-on political reporting, and they put them and another type of intern housing. It's called WISH, the Washington Intern Student Housing Network. So there's definitely places to go look to stay, but I loved it. I got to walk to work every day. I was really close to Union Station, so I could take the metro pretty much everywhere. It was like a 5-mile round trip walk for me to the Lincoln Memorial. So I was close to pretty much everything, which I absolutely love. Yeah, I did not end up taking my car. So sometimes that was a little challenging, but it was very cool to get that city feel, since living in Norman, is not the most walkable place.
No, that's, that's one thing, when you go to those cities, it's quite a bit different. I feel like in Norman, my office is 2 blocks from Main Street, and if I go to Main Street, I'd hop in my car and I drive.
Exactly,
and that's unheard of in a place like DC or Chicago or New York. But,
exactly.
So how long were you, as I mentioned earlier, you had to come back because of the pandemic. How long were you supposed to be there?
I was supposed to be there from like end of January to like beginning middle of June.
Okay.
And I had actually come home the first week of March in a weekend to surprise my family. They had no idea I was coming. And I had like leftover miles, and so my plane ticket was free, and I was like, I'm super homesick, I want to go home. So I came for my family, and less than 3 weeks later, they were like, we're just going to close the office, because, you know, kind of like everybody else in the world, I thought it was going to be 2 weeks and be over, but that was not the case. So I came home until Easter, and then around Easter time, I was like, okay, I don't think I'm going back to intern. So
right.
I did go back to DC, get the rest of my stuff, check out of my little apartment. Very bittersweet feeling, everyone in the office was so awesome. The congresswoman, we had our like little Zoom meeting. And it was sad to kind of cut those experiences short, but I feel like one of the best experiences of my life, no matter how short it was.
So while the past few months hasn't gone quite according to plan, you have to have, I guess you've had some time to maybe look at and figure out what's next for you. So I guess that's my next question. What is next for you? You've had a whirlwind past couple of few months and actually years. You traveled all over the place. You have a DC intern on your resume. I would feel like if I were in your shoes, that the world is at my feet, you can do virtually anything. At least once this pandemic is over and we can start getting back to life as normal. So what is next for Sylvia Kraft?
That is a great question. When I graduated, I would have told you I have no idea.
Okay.
And I guess that was definitely a silver lining of everything, was I got to go home, kind of take a breath, because I was so go, go, go in college. And I've always thought of law school or grad school. And so I actually started studying for the GRE, which is the entrance exam that you take for graduate school. Mm-hmm. And I think next steps for me are applying to grad school programs in public policy. So kind of, I can dive into more research and how policy is actually made, implemented, and how you can kind of lobby for certain efforts. I think that's kind of when I was in DC, I kind of had a realization that I was like, okay, I kind of like these meetings that people are coming in, experts in their issue area. I might want to do that. And so studying for the GRE, trying to save money for grad school, and I think that's next steps. I definitely want to travel when things are open.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. This is the first summer, I think, in a really long time that I haven't traveled everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of bittersweet.
Yeah. So with a master's degree in public policy, does that, I have in your past, you know, experience in politics, does that mean that a political career is in your future for sure? Or is the jury still out on that?
I think I need to build up some tougher skin before I pursue a career in politics. With my minor, I kind of grew really passionate about international studies, and my mom was an international relations major at OU, and she actually has a friend who works at the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland, and a couple of years ago, it was actually right before my study abroad program in Spain, I went to Switzerland to do a little bit of solo travel. And she kind of set up a little tour of the UN for me. And so he took me on a private tour. I got to see all of the council rooms and everything. And he was kind of describing his work for me. And I was like, well, I'd love to do something like this. So I definitely would have looked at United Nations career options. Would be like such a dream.
Yeah.
Just to kind of build up some international experience. So I definitely want to do that. I definitely want to try a teaching abroad program. My mom has done a Fulbright program, and she does some work for the State Department of Education, just to kind of help with cultural efforts of teaching and that sort of thing. And so I definitely want to have that international experience. But I would not rule out running for office here in the U.S. quite yet. I think I would definitely be open to it once I got a little bit more experience.
I hear you. I definitely hear you on the thicker skin thing. It's tough to put yourself out there
and
allow, especially with social media these days, allowing people to just say whatever, whenever they want, whenever they want, and don't have the filter of having to look you in the eye when they say it. So it's that's not a career that I would go down and go into, probably for that very reason. I don't like people saying bad things about me and can't avoid it.
I was like, that's why I'll kind of start like doing policy, and then maybe if I get the itch for it, I'll run for actual office.
So I do want to talk about real quick before I let you go. Your mom, she sounds as impressive as you are, and she has a nonprofit that she started and runs. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think it's pretty cool what she does.
Yeah, so my mom was super involved at OU as well, and some of her friends who were exchange students from Columbia kind of got together and started a nonprofit called the Smile Education Foundation, and they kind of recruited her in, so she sits on the board with them, and it's a really cool organization that helps raise money to give school supplies and educational opportunities to kids in rural Colombia. And so growing up, that was really cool to kind of see her help craft. And I remember helping her when I was a student at Truman to do kind of like a fundraiser for them to get the kids involved. and kind of see that reward of you're helping kids get the same opportunities that you are. And so that is kind of what started also my love for nonprofit, was kind of see her work through those sort of things. But yeah, my mom is by far more accomplished than me, but one of the coolest people I know. She's working on her second master's degree right now. And she, yeah. And, being a single mom, when she was getting her first master's and when she was working at OU, I got so much exposure to like different cultures, different ways of thought. And I always knew, that she was like the cool mom whenever I'd go to school and all my friends would be like, "Did you see the new Disney Channel movie last night?" And I was like, "No, I was watching Pride and Prejudice or some PBS documentary with my mom." Like I grew up hating listening to NPR on the way to school, and now I can't. I'm like, I've got to listen to NPR this morning. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
She's awesome and definitely one of the coolest people I know, and also someone who's super involved in the Norman community. So I definitely get a lot of who I am from her.
Sounds like it. So if somebody were to want to find out more information about that nonprofit, maybe potentially donate in some way, how can they do that? Is there a website you can direct us to or
yeah, there's
anything?
There's a Smile Education Foundation website. You can go on there, donate. They also have internships and career opportunities on there. And the Her Friends who help run the nonprofit, they're super involved in OU's Alumni Association. And I think a lot of people don't know that there's a really big alumni group internationally. And Columbia has one of the biggest OU alumni groups, which I think is super cool. And so, definitely lots of opportunities to get involved when you get involved with that organization. But yeah, she's pretty awesome. She also does an after-school program. She teaches ELL, English as a second language, and a lot of her families don't come from the U.S., so she runs an after-school program for those kids, and she also does work with a group in Norman called Latinas Win. So she's just the coolest person ever, if you've ever had. And it's really funny because I'll be out in Norman and people will be like, "Oh my gosh, Sylvia, how are you? I see you probably don't know who I am, but I see you on your mom's Facebook." And I'm just thinking, who are you? And also, what did she post about me?
That's hilarious. Yeah. As I mentioned, my wife, who is also an educator, knows your mom. Both my stepdaughters went through Truman. My wife has talked about your mother for many years. And as I mentioned, when my wife was in a car accident a few years ago, your mom was one of the people. In fact, I think the only person to stop and check on her and make sure she was okay. Yeah. So very impressed, not only with your mom's accomplishments, but for just her care for the people around her. Sounds like an amazing person. So before I let you go, the question I pose to everyone, I'm going to make yours a two-parter, though. I want to know where your favorite hotspots in Norman are. But before we get into where you like to go now, talk about when you were growing up or in high school, your favorite place that you and your friends like to go to, maybe for lunch or to grab a bite or to hang out when you were growing up.
Yeah, so back in the day, it was called Skateland, but Starskate was the hot spot to be at, especially after Perfect Swing closed. People today are like, "What's Perfect Swing?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yes. Oh, I loved Perfect Swing. Definitely when I was younger, those things, go see movies. But once I got older and I could kind of drive myself around, Classic 50s was always the spot to go.
Yep.
I remember I even went there after my senior prom.
Oh,
funny. And when I got my license, there's a really funny story. I got my license and I actually failed the very first time I took my driver's test.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really sad. So the next day I retook it and I was feeling good. I passed. And so I was going to pick up one of my friends, take her to Classic 50s. And first of all, driving to go get her, my emergency brake was on the entire time.
Oh,
like, what is that noise? Yeah, and then I got to Classic 50s, and of course, Lindsay Street traffic is like no other.
Right.
And so I tried to turn in, and I ended up going through the exit instead of the entrance.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, funny story. But Classic 50s is awesome. Once my friends and I were older, we kind of started to go to events at OU that were free. Art walks were awesome. We were big concert people, me and my friend group. But other than that, we were pretty boring. Like I said, we were like, do you want to watch? Do you want to read Jane Austen and do you want to watch documentaries? Yeah,
nope.
The pretty nerdy friend group. But.
Gotcha. That's awesome. What about now? You're a little bit older. You're out of school.
Yeah.
Where do you like to eat in Norman? Where's your favorite place to go? And what do you get when you go there?
Yeah. So my family and I, we are big Tarahumara's people.
Oh, it's a good spot.
The Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes. So good. So we've been doing lots of takeout from there. That's one of my favorite spots. As a college gal in Norman, the Winston is awesome. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's been cool to kind of introduce my friends to places around Norman, like the Mont even.
People are like
all the college kids are like, oh, I love the Mont. And I was like, do you really love the Mont? Because I'm from Norman and I love the Mont. love the Mont. Love to walk around campus. And I am a big like local shopper, so I try to go to Stash. On Main Street. I love Guest Room Records. Going to the Farmers Market on the county fairgrounds. It's been kind of sad to not be able to do all of that at the moment.
I know, for real.
But yeah, it was getting to show my friends around Norman as I'm older has been really, really awesome because I felt like Norman is all kind of our identity is OU, but I kind of feel like sometimes OU's identity is not always the Norman community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that I definitely tried to do was kind of push my friends out there and be like, Norman is really, really cool. You don't need to go to Oklahoma City to find fun things. Like, our community is awesome. And so that's been a big part of my adult life has kind of been showing people around and finding new things to do.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing everything today and being on the podcast.
Yeah.
My last question, and you know what's coming, what we do is we end the podcast with a song selected by our guest. So tell us what song we'll be hearing at the end of the podcast here, and tell us why you picked it.
Yeah, so I thought long and hard about this. And then I finally realized that the perfect song to play would be Time Won't Let Me Go by The Bravery. And the story behind that is one of the best people I've met in Norman has been my eighth grade English teacher. And we always did songs on Friday mornings to journal to. That was kind of our writing day.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were reading The Outsiders, which has an Oklahoma background to it, she played that song for us and she kind of explained that there's a reference in there to The Outsiders. So we listened to it and the reference is about one of the characters, Cherry Valance. And I just think it's one of the coolest songs. Every time I hear it, I think about her and it's a perfect song to drive around Norman to, like windows down. And definitely a song that will always remind me of Norman and always kind of remind me, about the feelings that I get when I come here.
That's awesome. So it's the name of that teacher so we can make sure that she gets the recognition she deserves?
Yes, Mrs. Hollis Clark Pearsall. She from Whittier Middle School. She doesn't teach there anymore, but she one of the coolest people I've ever met. I still have like letters from her. Taught me definitely a lot about writing, reading, kind of love for self-discovery through words. So I really, really love her. And I hope she gives this a listen so she gets to hear the song.
Definitely. Time Won't Let Me Go by The Bravery. I hope everybody enjoys that song as we roll out. Sylvia Kraft, it's been a true pleasure getting to know you better and having you on the podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. I love podcasts. So this is kind of a kind of a little dream come true.
Nice. Well, to all of our listeners, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, just search for I Am Norman Pod. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned for many more episodes to come.
The I Am Norman podcast is brought to you by The Hall at the Railhouse, Norman's premier event space in the heart of downtown. When all of this is said and done and life gets back to normal, the one thing we'll all be looking to do is celebrate with our friends and families. Weddings, receptions, corporate events, luncheons, banquets, proms, parties, and more. If you're looking for a place to celebrate life, we hope you'll choose The Hall at the Railhouse. For more information, please visit therailhousenorman.com or call 405-778-0003. If I could do it all again, I'd go back.